of this message today is I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Do you ever wonder why people who are unsaved and even wicked, maybe blasphemous people, seem to be doing so well? You ever wonder why that's happening? Here you are, you're serving Jesus, trying your best to do what God's given you to do, and you're suffering. They're doing well, and they're not trying to serve Jesus. I don't know about you, but that has gone through my mind before. Why is this happening? I don't get it. Right? Well, the one in the Bible that was titled The Man After God's Own Heart, he didn't get it either. And that's what this chapter is all about. We're going to read the first 15 verses of this chapter. I'm wrong. It was not David that said this. It was actually Asaph. I don't know if your Bible is like mine, but it says here a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was the music director during David's reign. But it says here in verse 1, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish." Are you picturing what David's picturing? We're going to read on here in just a second. But he's describing the unsaved that are around him that are doing real good, at least in his opinion. Verse 8, "They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, as people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. Your word is powerful. It's living. It's what we need. And Father, I pray that you would open our ears individually this morning to what you have to say to us. Father, I recognize that that could be different for me than it might be for someone else. And I pray that you would just help me to see what you want me to see. Lord, help it not to stop there. Help me to change where you want me to change. Help me to see things from your perspective and not mine. Help me to deliver your message to your people in an accurate way this morning. And I thank you for it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Human nature, also known as the sin nature, causes us to compare ourselves with other people. Do you do that sometimes? You look at what you have, and you look at other people and what they have, and the questions begin to roll, right? We compare our circumstances with other people's circumstances, just like Asaph was doing right here in Psalms chapter 73. But that's not good to do. In fact, it's sin. In John chapter 21, Jesus, he singled out Peter and he asked him three different times, "Peter, do you love me?" And every time he would say, "Feed my sheep." Peter felt like the limelight was all over him. He didn't like that, so he did what we do a lot of times. He tried to turn it on to somebody else. He said, "Well, what about John?" Jesus' response is to Peter, "Don't worry about John. You do what I told you to do. Don't compare yourself with other people. Well, he's not doing what I'm doing. She's not carrying the load that I'm carrying. She needs to help more." Maybe not. And if she is supposed to be helping more and she's not, that's between her and God, not you and her. We shouldn't be comparing ourselves with other people.
Right.
It doesn't matter what circumstances other people have in comparison to yours or mine. God is fully capable of giving us what we need. And by the way, He does.
Amen.
Which brings us to our next point. We look at others who either are not saved, or maybe they are, but they're just not serving God like we are or like we think we are. And we draw the conclusion that God's not being fair with us. They're cruising along real nicely. They don't have problems. They're happy. They're blessed. And look at me. I've got this problem. I've got that problem. I have this pain. I'm suffering. My finances are not doing well. But them. Look at them. God, what are you doing? Here's the problem with that perspective. First of all, you don't really know what their position is with God. And number two, you do know yours. And that it ain't what it ought to be. So it's our pride that drives this mentality when we think that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing and God's blessing them. I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing and God's not blessing me like He is them. Many times, if not all of the time, that's just a crooked mentality anyway. Because we're not doing like we're supposed to be doing. The truth is, we don't deserve the blessings that we already have. And yet are aggravated that we don't have more. That's the entitlement mentality.
Amen.
That's just not reality. There's really no indication in Scripture that after salvation that you deserve a problem-free life. Right? We don't deserve a problem-free life. In fact, we need problems. We were talking about this a little bit this morning in Sunday school. Problems are good. Because problems bring us back to God.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I tend to pray more fervently in the middle of a problem than I do when I'm not having a problem.
Right.
Problems are good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them. You don't like them. We don't want them. We avoid them. We even get mad at other people because they caused them, we think. But the bottom line is, we need them. We need problems. We need suffering. And if you study the Bible, you're going to learn that suffering is a way of life. Paul said this. He said, I want to know Christ in His suffering. In other words, it was going to require suffering that Paul would have to go through in order to have a right relationship with Jesus. We need suffering. Asaph was in a spiritual low moment here. Look at verse 6. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. He literally pointed out the sin that he thought they had, but was in the midst of it himself. Do you ever find yourself there? Did you know that probably, I think this is a proven fact, I'm not 100% sure, but probably, the things that aggravate you the most about other people, you struggle with yourself. That was definitely going on right here with Asaph. It was evident right here in verse 6 that he was blaming them for the struggle that he presently had at that time. When you see your sin in other people, they become detestable in your eyes. Solomon tells us about this in Proverbs 26, verse 28. He says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. If I'm a liar, I can't stand it in other people when they lie. If I have a serious problem with pride, it irks me when I see other people who are affected by pride. That's just how we are. Sometimes we even try to correct them when we still haven't corrected ourselves. Jesus' comment about that was, get the beam out of your eye, then you can see clearly to help them get the speck out of theirs. Until then, you can't see clearly to help them with their problem. So Asaph is really struggling with this problem. We've read all through verse 15, and it's evident that he's just struggling. Then, look at verse 16. He says, when I thought to know this, in other words, when I was sitting here just really pondering this, it was too painful for me. In other words, he was just aggravated. He was fuming. In fact, it's possible that he was even talking to God and saying, God, why? Why do you bless those people? Look at them. They hate you. They curse your name. I'm over here sacrificing to serve you, and I don't know that for sure because it doesn't say that. But I know that you've been there, I've been there, and we've done that. But he says this in verse 17, first in verse 16, when I thought to know, I was pondering on this, I was dwelling on this, and then, verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. I'm not sure what he was calling the sanctuary of God. Maybe it was the temple. Sometimes in Scripture, the sanctuary of God is our prayer closet. So I don't really know what he was calling the sanctuary of God, but what I do know is this. He went to God about it. A lot of times when you and I are struggling, we fail to take this step. We fail to go to God about it and ask God for answers and ask God for clarity and wisdom. And instead, we just go and we try to deal with it accordingly and deal with it with our own ability and our wisdom, which is, and that just doesn't work, does it? Asaph went to God, and the Bible says, he says, as I was burning about this, And fuming, I talked to God. And then apparently God showed him something. He showed him that wicked person who he was being covetous over is not even headed to heaven like he was. Coming to church is good for many reasons.
Amen.
We call it the sanctuary of God sometimes. But in this particular light for Asaph, it was especially good because just like us, we receive help. When we come to church, we receive encouragement. Sometimes we give encouragement. Sometimes we receive answers to the problems that have been troubling us. During this time when we come to God, whether it be church or our prayer closet, by the way, that closet can be a closet, or it can be your bedroom, or it could be your car, it could be wherever you're at. But when you get alone with God, and you're serious, and you're sharing with Him your heart and this problem, I believe He'll open your eyes like He did Asaph. Asaph was being jealous, get this, of someone that was headed to hell. He was jealous. Not because they were headed to hell, but because of what they had that he wanted. When we are jealous, when we are envious, covetous of other people, we're not in a good place.
That's right.
Just like Asaph. In fact, look back at verse 2. He says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. In other words, what he was saying was, I was that close to disaster. I'm not really sure exactly what he means by that, but I just know this. When we're in sin, we're on a bad path. Even if that sin is, I hate to put it this way, just being covetous. And I hate to put it that way because being covetous is a bad sin. I think it was the first sin of all time. Lucifer coveted what God had. And it caused a real problem that we still deal with today. So it's not a little thing, but yet sometimes in our minds, that's how we look at it. Apparently, because we do it over and over, and we seldom even go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been having those thoughts about what they have. I know that you bless me beyond my deserving. I don't really know how their walk with you is. I don't know what they face and what they deal with behind closed doors. I'm sorry for sinning and having those covetous thoughts. How often do we do that? You may have had some covetous thoughts today on the way to church because you saw that car that you wish you had that they were driving. And you haven't even asked God to forgive you for it yet. Maybe you won't. Why? Because we don't view it as a real problem. But when we're involved in that sin or any other sin, we're on the wrong path. And that path leads to total destruction if we stay on that path. That's what Asaph was saying in verse 2. He said, I was that close to total destruction until I went into the sanctuary of God. That's where we need to go. When God, through His Holy Spirit, opens our eyes to our sin, the next step is repentance. Not excusing it. Not calling it something else. I think that's our problem many times. We call our sin other things. Sometimes we call it procrastination. Or we call it a bad habit. We call it a mistake. I was just not feeling good. That's why I said that. But seldom we call it what it is. Because if we call it sin, then we got to deal with it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to admit that we've sinned. He said in verse 22, "So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast, an animal, before thee." Talking about God. I was just like a dog before you. So foolish. Do you have that kind of warped perspective sometimes? When you look at other people and what they have that you don't? What you don't know is when they get home, they go home to a unhappy home. A home full of turmoil and hate. You can't see that when they're in the Ferrari driving down the road. You don't know how they feel when they lay their head on the pillow at night. And they don't know what peace is. They're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. They may be worried about losing that Ferrari. We don't know those things. Asaph was jealous of those people because of his temporal perspective on success. He thought, remember, he was at a spiritual low at this time. He thought success had something to do with the things that you had. Well, so do we. That's how we see it too sometimes, which leads us to have the same jealous thoughts of other people that he had. But success really has nothing to do with money. It doesn't have anything to do with stuff. I learned that even more clearly when I went to Haiti and saw people who have never seen a $100 bill, maybe not even a $50 bill. They have tree limbs on their roof for their roof. They have roofing metal on their sides of their house for their wall. No insulation. No AC. They're not really sure if they're going to have food tomorrow. They've got a little bit today. And they smile. And they praise God for what God has blessed them with. And here us Americans are standing there looking at them thinking, how can they be so happy? They don't have anything. As though things bring happiness. They don't. We ought to know that because every time we get a new thing, we are kind of happy for a short period of time, and then all of a sudden that happiness is gone.
Right.
And now we're just left trying to pay for it.
Right.
And that ain't happy.
No.
Things don't bring happiness. Asaph thought they did, because he thought that person was happy because they had what he wanted. Sometimes you and I fall in that same rut, where that we think that God is blessing them, apparently, and He's not blessing me. Yes, He has. He has. If you're on your way to heaven, you already have more than you deserve.
Amen.
If you can hear what I'm saying right now, you have more than you deserve. If God's blessed you with the ability to see, to get up, walk, talk, run, work, play, jump, climb, think, reason, digest food, you've already been blessed with more than you deserve.
Amen.
Don't compare yourself with other people. You don't know what their story is. You don't know what they deal with behind closed doors. Let me tell you what true success is. True success is finding out what God has put you here for. Remember, He's the one that created you. And He did that with a purpose. In other words, you have a purpose. God didn't put you here for no reason. He put you here for a purpose. True success is finding out what that purpose is and then setting out on a lifelong goal to fulfill that purpose. And I promise you, when you fulfill that purpose, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll be successful. You'll have happiness. You'll have peace that you used to didn't have. You'll have joy that you have never experienced. You'll have fulfillment of life like nobody else. There won't be any envying other people because you're content right where you're at, because you know that that's where God put you. and that you're doing exactly what He's called you to do. That's true success. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with what you drive, where you live, what you live in, how much money you have in your bank account or your wallet or your purse. It doesn't have anything to do with those things. In fact, the more of that you have, the less of the other. The peace, the joy, and the contentment that you will have. Money seems to infect us and cause a problem. It causes us to forget God. It causes us to forget where our blessings really come from. That's when we get to feeling like Asaph. And we begin to be envious of other people. One of the biggest things that God wants from all of us is fellowship. In fact, that's why He created all of mankind, was for fellowship. Sin caused a division there and a lack of fellowship. And ever since that happened, God has been working to close that gap. Satan is working to make it a bigger gap. But God just wants fellowship. Do you fellowship with Him? Do you talk to Him? Oh, Brother Bruce, I pray every morning. Jeanette and I were talking about this last night. And she said, I wonder how our relationship with the people in our life would be that we care about the most, if all we did was talk to them for 5 or 10 minutes every day. It certainly wouldn't be a healthy relationship, would it? God wants fellowship all throughout the day, not just a few minutes. Walk closely with Him in His sanctuary. By the way, that's everywhere. That's wherever you're at. That's wherever you're dealing with a problem. That's wherever you're at when you want to praise Him because of some wonderful thing that He's just done. Walk closely with Him. Proverbs 28:5 says this, "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." There is a peace that God gives to us when we are walking close to Him that we can't really understand because it's so good. And we know we don't deserve it. And it keeps us from envying other people. It keeps us from desiring things that they have. Walk closely with God. If you want to be successful, you're going to have to do that. I'm talking about truly successful. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, You've given us a challenge. And that challenge is to be content and thankful for what You've already blessed us with. Lord, You've asked us not to compare ourselves with other people, but to be thankful for what You've already given us. Lord, help us to walk closely with You. I thank You for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, let's all stand, and we're going to turn to page number 505. Sorry, I don't have my glasses on. Number 505, we're going to sing "Have Thine Own Way." 505.
Have Thine Own Way. Have Thine own way. the clay.